affected by the death of John. And so he goes to be by himself. And something amazing about this text is that we see very clearly in this text, we see the two natures of Jesus. We see his humanity right here very clearly, that Jesus, he gets the news of John's death and he goes alone to be by himself for a while. No doubt he's going to pray and to talk to his heavenly Father. But then later on, we see the power of Jesus and the divinity of Jesus. His God nature, his human nature and his God nature are both very, very clearly seen in this text. And the fact that Jesus goes out alone to pray, this is an example for us. When we have something going on in our lives, that sometimes it's necessary to take ourselves away from the news or whatever it is and to spend time with your Father in heaven. Pray to him. Ask for his help. Tell him your problems. Tell him how you're feeling. All of these things. This is what we need to do. This is what Jesus did. And this is exactly what we need to do. So Jesus, he does exactly that. He goes and he withdraws from the crowds to spend this time alone. But he doesn't really get away from them, because it tells us that the people followed Jesus. Now at this point, Jesus had healed many, many people. Jesus had done many, many miracles and things. And now we've come to the point where the people are actively seeking Jesus out. They're looking for him to help them. They all have problems, and they all need Jesus to heal them or to fix their problems. And so they're seeking Jesus out, and so they follow him on foot out from the towns into this place where Jesus had gone. And they're looking for Jesus to help them. And when Jesus, he comes ashore, he gets off this boat, and he sees a huge crowd of people. This huge crowd. And it's in Mark's gospel, I believe, of this account. By the way, this is the only miracle of Jesus that's in all four of the gospels. This is a very important happening in Jesus' life. And so Jesus, he gets aside, and in Mark's gospel, Mark tells us that he saw the people and he had compassion because they were as sheep without a shepherd. They were as sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus sees this mass of humanity, all these people, all these needs, and nobody's there to help them. And Jesus knows that he is the one who's able to help them. And so he has compassion on them. He's actually affected. He's affected by their need. And he wants to help them. And so he does. Jesus heals their sick. He goes and he looks for all the weak and for the sick, and he heals them. He helps them out. This is how Jesus is. Jesus helps those who need him. He's always looking to help them. And it says that there's people from many different places, from the town. So there's all kinds of different areas. This can tell us that Jesus helps people from all over. You know, it's not just one group of people, but there's all kinds of people. He came to help all of the whole human race. He came to give us help, to give us all those things that we need. And Jesus was, as it says, moved with compassion. The Greek word for this is a very interesting word. It's called splanchnizomai. And it's a very guttural sounding word, because it means like Jesus was affected to the very core of his being. And that's why that sound is a guttural sound, even, that Jesus had this immense compassion and he's affected deeply by their issues. Because we're told in Hebrews that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our weakness. Jesus was. He was touched by their weakness. And he had this concern for them. And so we're told that it was evening. They had been out there for a long time, and I'm sure everybody's getting hungry at this point. Jesus had been doing all this healing, and he had been, ministering and blessing these people all day long, and now it's like getting late in the day. And, you know, if I were to sit here and preach till like 1 o'clock, right, how long would it take before somebody would come up and say, hey, this is getting a little long. The people are getting hungry here. They need to go home and eat. Well, that's kind of what happened there with the disciples. They intervene, and they, for the sake of the people, and they say, Jesus, there's no food out here. It's getting late. Let them go buy some food so they can go back to their towns where they came from. And kind of humanly speaking, this seems very reasonable request on the disciples' part. They're like, after all, Jesus, this is a desert. There's nothing growing out here. It's getting late. You should let them go buy food. Well, the problem is it is very reasonable and very human. And God doesn't operate that way. God has a whole other way of thinking. His thoughts are much higher than ours. His ways are far above our ways. Jesus' ways were far above this, where Jesus would send this huge crowd of people who need him away to take care of their own issues. Jesus has the ability to help them. So Jesus doesn't send people away to figure out their own problems. Jesus will, in fact, help them in their problems. And so Jesus tells his disciples something very, very surprising, I'm sure, to them. He says, they don't need to go away. You feed them. He told his disciples to feed them. And now this is, Jesus is going to allow his disciples to actually be a part of this. And that's the amazing thing here, that the disciples are actually going to get to take part in this miracle. He's going to show them how this works. It's just like, I can remember when I was a little kid, my dad used to let us steer up the driveway. We would be driving, he'd be driving the car, and we'd get home, and we would take turns being able to steer the car up the driveway. That was so amazing that dad would let us actually take part in driving the car. It was like, we were thrilled by that. As any little boy, I'm sure, especially the boys, would be thrilled. Well, Jesus, he's letting the disciples actually be part of his power. And he lets them feed the people. He tells them, you're going to feed them. And so right away they start, well, I don't think we can do this. And they start, well, we don't have food here. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not very much. And they're right, it isn't very much. This was just a small amount of very ordinary food. Like, this is their diet in that area, especially a poor person's diet. They would eat fish and bread. That's what was very common. And that's all they had, just a little bit of it. And so they bring this to, they tell Jesus this is all we have. And Jesus tells them something very amazing. He says, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. This is the creator of the entire universe standing before them in human flesh. And he tells them, bring this stuff to me. He made all this. He's the creator of this. He can make it again, or he can like multiply this thing. He knows how this works. You know, it's just kind of like when we go to like a cell phone store or something, and those of us who aren't really up on all the tech stuff, it's like we go to the store and you give them your phone, and they can show you all kinds of things that your phone does that you had no clue. I had that happen one time. I got a new cell phone, and I went in to get a new phone, and I was like, I asked them, does this thing have a wireless charger? And they were like, yeah, it does. And I was like, wow, I've heard about that. Like, this is awesome. I could wirelessly charge my phone, and I was going on how great this is. And he looked at me kind of baffled, and then he was like, well, your old phone had that. But I had no clue. You know, that's how this stuff works. That we don't understand how it works, but until somebody who actually knows how this works. You know, they can, there's all kinds of things that they know about it. But anyway, Jesus, he knows intimately his creation. He made this stuff. He's able to multiply it. He's able to do whatever he wants to with it. Things that we don't think are possible. Jesus can do it. He says, bring them here to me. He's going to multiply this. And so he has the people sit down on the grass, which is very interesting too, because this is brings us back to the 23rd Psalm. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus is assuming the role of the good shepherd. He's there and he has the people sit down. These people who were like sheep not having a shepherd, well, he has them sit down in the grass. He's going to be their shepherd now. He's going to feed them. And so he looks up and he blesses the bread. Jesus takes what he's already provided for them and he blesses it. You know, God blesses what he's already given to us. He takes what he's already given to us, he blesses it and creates more and more. This is the nature of how God's grace works. It multiplies. It grows. It's blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And it never loses its original quality. It's always just the same thing, just more of it. Just more and more and more of the same. And so Jesus, he takes this bread and he starts to break it up and he passes it around to the disciples. And the disciples then start to distribute it around to all the people. And This is how this goes. Jesus just keeps giving it to them. He just keeps providing. And they keep giving it out. And that's exactly how his kingdom works. The kingdom of grace. Jesus will just give in an endless supply. And it's just distributed by the disciples. Now that's how it works even still today. The disciples, Jesus had given the disciples everything they needed. And now it continues to provide for us in the form of the Holy Scriptures, the written Word of God. We have that Word. Jesus gave it to his disciples, and they've been distributing it to us ever since. And it's just, it never runs out. It's never depleted. And it says here that they all ate, and they were all filled. So nobody goes hungry. Jesus has enough for everyone. Jesus has enough for you. There's no reason that you would go hungry. And here's the amazing thing. It's not like it's exactly enough. But there's extra. There's plenty. There's leftovers. And so they go out to gather up the leftovers. And this is an amazing sort of thing that's happening here. They're counting. It's like they're counting their blessings, right? Jesus had just fed everybody, and they're not just going to leave all the scraps on the ground. They're like, well, let's go like see how good this really was that Jesus fed us, because there's leftovers. And so they go and they start searching around for all the leftovers, and they start gathering it all up. You know, that's like counting their blessings, understanding what it is that actually took place, that Jesus had just provided for them. And we can do the same thing. Count your blessings. Look at what Jesus has done for you. And you'll be surprised. It's an immense amount that he has done. He has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us so that his blessings have multiplied for us. And of course it's 12 baskets full. So there's one for each of the disciples. So even they get to eat. And they each have what they need for their own ministry. Because they would go on and they would carry this word, which is Jesus, this bread of life. They would go and they would distribute it on for the rest of their lives. And they would have enough. And so Jesus can provide. And then it says that there was, of those who ate, there was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. It doesn't count the women and children in the number, and maybe we're wondering why. And the obvious reason is because men have bigger appetites, right? And so they're the ones who eat the most. Well, it could be that, but also it's because of the fact that those were the people that were eligible to go to war. And so that's the way they did things, sort of. Then they would count. The men were always the ones counted because nations and people were used to numbering themselves in, like, their military might and that sort of thing. And so there was more than 5,000 people. That's the point. It's not just 5,000. There's women, there's children, there's all these people. And this is a great miracle of Jesus. And this is, I'm sure for the Jewish people, they would look back in their own history and they would remember Elisha. There was a miracle, a very important miracle in the Old Testament that Elisha did. He fed 100 men, the sons of the prophets, he fed them with 20 barley loaves, and they had leftovers. And this was an amazing thing for them. They would remember this history. Well, what this is saying is that Jesus, he is far greater than any of the prophets. That those prophets were actually pointing to Jesus. He is the main one. He's what the prophets were pointing to. And he does this amazing miracle. He feeds all of them. And so, to wrap this up here, brothers and sisters, the two main things that you need to remember from this sermon is that Jesus is compassionate and Jesus is incredibly, incredibly powerful. He's compassionate and he's powerful because Jesus heals us. Jesus feeds us and Jesus forgives all of our sins. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we are so thankful for your provision for us, for everything that your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. We pray that you would bless each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.